Marshall and Sagar here. Welcome back to The Realignment. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the teaser of our bi-weekly Q&A episodes that Sagar and I put out to subscribers to our Supercast. We're offering you a teaser question. If you want to get more of the questions and submit questions yourself, you can go to realignment.supercast.com. Once again, that's realignment.supercast.com, or you can check your show notes where there will be a link to the description. This is a great way to get additional realignment bonus content, but also just support the show as we continue to scale up and do more and more and more. So would love for you to subscribe to the show if you have not done so already and would like a bit of a preview of the work we do in these Q&A sessions. Here is our first question. See you next time. Next question, getting young people to vote. Young people and the kind of person who watches YouTubers usually don't vote. Editorial point, thank you for being aware of this fact. It's very funny for us. You understand the cynicism and despair behind that, but is there any way to get them to invest in politics so their concerns register? Obviously, there's obstacles in their way, like primaries meant to keep them out. David Foster Wallace even argued back in 2000 that making young people cynical was an establishment move to discourage the youth vote. But it seems like there's a doom spiral happening where their disinterest keeps them from being served, which keeps them from being interested and helps keep politics broken. What do you think, Sagar?
Let me challenge the question a little bit. 2020 was the highest youth turnout on record since the 1970s, since we began taking demographic data. At 55%. So more than half of young people actually voted in the 2020 presidential election, higher than a temporary spike of 51% in 1992, and equivalent to the amount of people who came out and voted in the 1970 presidential election. So I don't know. It's an interesting question, which is that challenging the assumption is important because actually young people did vote in 2020. I think what you're getting at, the question asker, is why don't young people vote to the same degree as old people? I don't even know if cynicism has a lot to do with it. The best theory that I've heard is that when you're old, the government just touches your life in a lot more tangible ways. For example, when you're young, you don't own a house, so you don't care about property taxes. Also, your income and your income tax is very... basically, you know, it's going to be marginal at best for the vast majority of people. Also, whenever it comes to Social Security and Medicare, these are things that you genuinely don't know anything about beyond what you pay in for payroll taxes, state services, even insurance. None of the institutions which are directly affected by government really touch your life beyond student loans. And even that, that's only 40 some percent of young people. So that's my answer, Marshall. Does that make sense?
No, totally makes sense. And I think you're totally right for the broad youth picture. But I think what the question asker was getting at, though, are YouTubers and people who watch a show like Breaking Points. And I actually would probably bet money that the Breaking Points audience probably participates in politics a little less than that broad youth average you've described.
Well, I don't know though, because they're watching a political show. So it's actually probably likely that they split amongst the general population, probably around half voted, probably around half not. That's about, you know, that's about what I would call it. I think we've surveyed it in the past and around 50% said they voted, which is basically dead on with the average.
You know, that's a smart answer because when you put it the way you just put it, I now actually agree with your point, which is half voted, half didn't vote. So if, let's say you have a monologue that got 100,000 views, I could entirely see half voting, half not voting.
Yeah.
I do think, though, another really smart point the question asker got at, we need a better word than phrasing question asker, but we'll get to that later, is the point about political primaries. That is almost certainly where youth participation and definitely independent-minded YouTube audiences are really not that participating that much. And look, like that's why proposals like open primaries, final five voting, like technocratic changes like that are increasingly popular because it's this weird dynamic of political parties are obviously losing power in the sense that people aren't that pumped to identify with them. This is a left, right, center issue, but it still really matters what happens in the primary. So the question would really be, especially in a bunch of one party states, should we really, does it make sense to have a political system where the only people who get to basically decide who gets to be in the general election and therefore win are people in this closed system? On the other side of that debate, though, I entirely understand the very reasonable argument that party members make, which is like, this is our club. Like, you can't just say that everyone has to be welcome. Like, they can choose to join. They could register for the primary and then deregister right afterwards. It's very straightforward. It's very easy. We think that as a membership organization, like, talk about, you know, the Constitution per our debate last week, freedom of association. We could decide to associate people we want to. And if they don't want to do it, they don't want to do it. So I think that's a complicated argument. I'm more sympathetic to that, to the party primary should be open argument in one party states like my home state of Oregon, definitely a state like Texas where I live now, definitely New York where I used to live, definitely DC. I guess I have a theme here of where I actually end up living, but I think that's my answer. One quick thing that I'll add here, and this gets at the cynicism part of the question asker's argument. I really take that to be a really important point, because I think too many people who are in independent media and serve the YouTube audience spend a little too much time talking about like corruption and how the system's broken and how everything works by people handing like checks under the table. That could be true in specific instances. That could also be kind of an accurate summation of how the political system works in terms of those studies that say that wealthier people's political desires end up getting implemented more. Therefore, that makes you ask the question, like, why is that? That said, there's a way of expressing that actually just leads people to believe in doom and gloom. So if you go around saying like, hey, like DC, it's broken, it's corrupt, like these things don't happen, not because the country disagrees, but because everyone's handing cash under the table. If you're just some 20-something or 18-year-old who just got registered to vote, that's not going to encourage you to